Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome, listeners, to the first episode of Road to Divi 1. This is a little podcast project that I'm working on with Andrew Buchanan, the captain, coach, best runner in the Bendigo Bats Division 2 cross-country team, who's also debuting his marathon at the Gold Coast, his first ever marathon, coming up in about 8.5-9 weeks. So we're going to follow his journey to his first marathon on this little podcast series. And we are also going to follow the journey of the Bendigo Bats cross-country team as they work towards getting promoted into Division 1 at the end of the 10-race series for the Athletics Victoria Winter Cross-Country and Road Racing Series. Welcome to my co-host, Andy Buchanan. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Brady. I bloody love that title, Road to Divi 1. Yeah. When did you think of that? That's great.
I was just jogging the other day, and I was, when was it? I think I was doing like a medium long run. It was, yesterday, Wednesday. We're recording this on a Thursday, and I was actually listening to you talk on another podcast about, that Running Guy podcast, I think it's called.
Yep.
And he was asking you questions about the Bendigo Bats and stuff, and I'm like, oh, this would be cool just to like, I want this to be like super low key compared to like inside running and stuff, and really go back to, because this is how inside running started, doing like a really low key Road 2 series when we did Berlin in 2017, I think it was. So, and then I was listening to you talk about it, and I've been watching heaps of sport documentaries lately. I've been watching the Formula One on Netflix. I think it's like Drive to Survive.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
I started at season 3 and it's good. I think I've got to go back and watch the first 2 seasons now.
Yeah, well worth it.
Yeah, that's what Croak said as well. It's like, go back, don't start season 3. But I've really enjoyed season 3. And then I've also been watching like Last Chance U, the basketball ones. And then like as a parody, I'm not trying to compare Road to Divi 1 to any of those documentary series, but I just thought this could be funny to really, like, we're just going to talk a lot about training here and to follow the journey of the Bendigo Bats throughout 2021 to see if they can get into Divi 1 or Premier Division. But I think Road to Divi 1 sounds way better than Road to Premier Division. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of Divi 1. I think that's what everyone calls it. So I think we'll roll with that. But no, it's going to be good fun. I know you messaged me yesterday, and when I was on that podcast the other day, it was I was quite interested that we spoke so long about XCR, and it kind of got me thinking that we are so lucky to have it. Like, it's such a unique circuit, and just even for us running around cheering on our second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth runner, and kind of giving a bit of lip to the other teams while we're there. And I was trying to get in Nathan Pierce's head, saying that Nathan Stoke was in real good form and he loves cross country and all that kind of stuff, because they were going head to head. So it's pretty unique. And we didn't get much coverage on the ASVIC. They're not showing us much love at the moment. So we got hardly any coverage on the XCR highlights. So
yeah,
hopefully
I think we're
we
like
can,
the bad boys of XCR, the Bendigo Bats.
I think we are. Yeah. So I reckon it's. I'm surprised we haven't got like film crew kind of following us around or anything like that. Because
yeah, I have heard some whispers, a few documentary teams after us and stuff, which could be funny.
Bit of a fairy tale story, I reckon. So yeah. it's gonna be good fun.
After round one, it's a fairy tale story. Still got nine more rounds to go, so we'll see how this ages. But what about me mate Moose? We absolutely triggered him on inside running. He's not happy at all with the Bendigo bats. I think it's a bit of jealousy kind of thing, maybe. Just maybe wishes he was a part of it.
I saw that and I was listening yesterday and he's not very happy. And I think the fact that Ballarat are going so poorly and then he can't even fall back on Geelong. And then he uses this excuse about Surf Coast Track Club or whatever they're called. And he messaged me about it and I said, mate, if you come in, you'd be in Div 7. And he didn't really appreciate that much. But it's funny, those you just sent me a highlights package from XCR09. did you watch that video? Did you see? So in 2 weeks' time on Saturday, we've got Lardner Park coming up, which is down at Warrigal. The most famous thing at Lardner Park is the fence jump. So anyone who's ran there knows what I'm talking about. You have to jump over this fence. And did you see the intro? there's a guy running along and he slips and literally knackers himself on the fence. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I wasn't paying too much attention to the introduction. I think I might have skipped it because I think it had like those little thumbnails about where to skip to hear the different parts of it.
Nah, go back and watch it. Trust me, it's hilarious. So that's something that we'll be looking out for in 2 weeks' time at Lardner Park because we're already Bendigo team, we had a good first round and we're already setting our sights on the win in round two.
Slow down a bit though because we'll go back because there could be some listeners who have just come across us for the first time maybe or live overseas and stuff when they don't really know what we're talking about. But do you want to maybe describe, because you did a pretty good job of it on that other podcast, maybe how the season looks and how the divisions look and where we're kind of situated in all of that?
Yep. Yeah. Sorry, I was just getting a bit excited. Yeah. Just
straight just to Lardner Park.
Seeing who's out and it's true cross-country. But so it's Athletics Victoria have this XCR circuit where there's, I think there's 10 or 11 different races.
10 races.
Yeah. And they all vary from there's no such thing as very easy cross-country, but gentle cross country to pretty full on cross country to road races to short relays. So it's a real mixture and they're all around the state as well, which is really, really great, especially for us up here in Bendigo, driving a few hours to each race, but that's all right. And how it works is there's a Division 1, Division 2, all the way down to Division 7, and it's just like the Premier League. So there's two teams that go up and two teams that go down every year. So if you win Division 2, you get promoted to Division 1 and so on. So I know you did a bit of research in Brady, and back in 2010, we were in Premier Division, and then our team kind of went MIA for a little bit. And then each year, if you don't score points and you finish in the bottom two, you keep dropping down a division. The cool thing is all the divisions are essentially the same. There's just a different amount of runners per team. So Divi 1 and Divi 2 always have 6 runners. So that's what we're in at the moment for some reason. And our friend of the show, Michael Kernahan, he's right on this.
We'll get his thoughts.
I reckon he's taking a lawsuit out on ASVIC soon. He's not very happy because two or three years ago, ASVIC changed it where they had two teams go up and two teams come down from Premier. So two teams from Div 2 and two come down from Div 1.
And there's 10 teams in Premier Division as well. So so the team that finishes 9th and 10th throughout at the end of the year on the ladders go down, and the two that are 1st and 2nd in Divi 2 go up. And we probably should explain that. So with the 10 race series, there's 4 relays. So you run, you know, like we did on the weekend, 6x6K, and there's 6 individual races. And where you finish in those races, that's how many points you get for your team, and the team with the lowest points then wins that round. So it's a fascinating kind of mathematical thing that goes on here.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because not only do you want a top 6 that are good, but you want probably a top 10, so therefore those 4 runners coming 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th can push other runners down from other clubs. So like if they're finishing in the top 50, they're going to push other runners down. So it's it's a really unique series, and I suppose to get into Divi 1, it takes more than just a win at the first round, because I actually looked back at results and I saw that Knox actually came second overall in 2019, and then they're still in Div 2. So they've done exactly what we've done, but their team was very different to our team on the weekend.
Yeah, and can you remember like your first race for this stuff? Like, I think for me it was probably 2003 was my first memory of like getting on the bus and going down with the Bendigo people, and I think maybe we're Div 4, and this was actually before, we should explain this, that Bendigo has 4 athletics clubs and they used to all run individually down at this stuff, whereas they merged, I think, in maybe, I'm going to say like 2008 to become Bendigo Region and then became Bendigo Bats just a few years ago. But can you remember your first impression of this kind of racing?
Yeah, probably my first memory would probably be Colburn Relays. So some people that have been around the scene for a little bit will remember this. It was a race that was actually in our hometown, so Bendigo. So the home of the Bats. And it used to run from a small town, about 40K away, called Harcourt. And it was a crazy race. Like, it was just like a Ekiden relay. So just like the Japanese ones. Probably slightly slower times than the Japanese relays, but it was very wild. Like, I've just got vivid memories of driving around with Lee Pertil just in a mad rush, because you had a bus and you were dropping your second runner off and making sure your third runner got to the position before your second runner got there. And it was, crazy time. So that's probably my
logistical nightmare, that one as well. Like, just trying to get people. And then there were so many times where people wouldn't be at the finish. So, like, the runner would be there with the sash waiting to pass it on, and the person wouldn't be there yet because they'd be stuck in traffic or taking a wrong turn. And it was super dangerous. Yeah. There were times when you were just on the side of a road with no shoulder, no bike lane. So that one got, that hasn't been going for a few years. And Bendigo hasn't had one for a while. So we do have to do quite a lot of travelling to get to most of them.
Yeah, exactly. But that's that's probably my vivid memories of doing that. And I just remember kind of Brett Gilligan on the bus and all that kind of stuff. But I remember when it was actually when we were competing as clubs. But it's great now we can compete as a region, just so we can compete against some of those bigger clubs in Melbourne. And I think all clubs do it now. In that 2009 XCR race at Jails, Ballarat YCW actually took the win. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. So they were still like a standalone club. Now they're Ballarat Region. Yeah.
And Mona, how about, anyone who's just looking to fill in some time, go back and watch some of those races.
That's so good, yeah.
That was epic.
And it's hard to find the old like ladders and results and stuff. Like, if you click on the links on AV, it just says like page not found. Whereas these videos still live on YouTube and you can kind of see them there. So that's exactly how I did the research to figure out that we hadn't got there before. I was thinking we had, and we must have, I think it was after we kind of all become Bendigo Region and had a couple of good years. And I think we might have, I don't think we won DV2. I think we might have been second, and that's when they used to put two teams up that got us into DV1. And we always just had, this is why it's so important for us now, because we just never had like a running culture in Bendigo. And we were just had no depth. Like, we'd have 2 or 3 people who were half decent open runners, and then would be kind of relying on 40 plus and 50 plus kind of guys to make up the numbers. And we just kept going down. Like, before you kind of rewrote the record books, I remember when I was getting into running, and like a 16 and 17 year old, there was one guy from Bendigo who had broken 30 minutes, and one guy who had probably broken 14:30. For 5K and 10K, and then the Bendigo marathon record was 2:24. So we kind of just didn't have that culture growing up there, or the role models or anything like that. So things have definitely changed now, but we don't have that rich history of success over this cross country and road racing season. So that's like why we're so passionate about it now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, while we were stoked with how our Div 2 team went at Gels Park, like, we had our Div 4 team finish third. We had our Div 7 team finish second. We had our men's under 18 team. They won it. So, like, I think that's how you judge how well a club or a region's going. You look at the juniors. And we had our women's under 18 team, they had a 12-year-old in there and they finished fifth. Like, so they, I don't know, we're in a good spot. Like, we've never had juniors racing much before. So it's, yeah, as you said, it's that culture has changed so much, and we're kind of we're taking over from Ballarat a little bit, I think, at the moment, which is pleasing to see.
Yeah, and we looked back through some of the results and we figured out the highest we've ever finished in when we were in Division 1, Premier Division, was fifth, which is kind of frustrating because on the weekend, if we were in Premier Division, we would have finished second, but because we're not, it kind of doesn't count. So yeah. So we've never ever won a state relay medal. Like, you've picked up a couple of individual ones, but as a club, as a team, as a region, Bendigo region has never won a state relay cross country medal, which is kind of super frustrating that we were so close and kind of almost deserved one on the weekend, but we didn't get to come home with one.
Yeah, it was a little bit bittersweet knowing that we competed so well and we ran exactly the same course. We were in the race. We actually were handicapped because we started behind everyone, behind Div 1, sorry. And yeah, I don't know. It's, I understand it, but at the same time, I don't know. If I got that third place medal, I don't think I'd be showing it off to anyone, because it's kind of like, yeah, did you earn that kind of thing? But that's all right. They can enjoy that third place medal. We'll be coming for the gold in no time, hopefully. So we'll just wait and see.
And I'm in two minds. Like, on the inside run, and I was getting really lippy about, like, they should just put us up, because I don't want this season to be like a waste. Like, because if we were in Premier Division after round one, we'd be sitting second on the ladder. And we know that Stewie and Ben Buckingham are going to go to the Olympics and overseas to race in Europe and things like that. Which means if you start looking at which club can potentially knock them off the top, well, you look down to us next. Then I'm like, oh, this could potentially be a season where at the end of the season, we're like a second or third, or, you know, if we have a fairy tale season, we could be the best team in the state. But it's not going to count, and we just need to then come back and do it in 2021. But then those clubs, like, surely they're going to be like, this doesn't count if we win it, if you actually look at the points and we've been rolled for 10 rounds. It's a fascinating situation. And the easy thing for us to do is go, well, don't worry about it, just focus on winning Divi 2. And that's the main thing we've got to make sure we do, like, not get complacent, and because there's some good teams down there as well in Divi 2.
Yeah, that's the thing, like Mentone, they had a pretty strong team. Like, they probably rolled half the Div 1 teams on the weekend. So they'll be tough to beat. And you can't. The wonderful thing is you need six quality runners every single round. And, like, there's going to be things come up. Like, I know I'm doing Gold Coast. I know you're heading up there as well. So this is where it really tests the season tests your depth. So it's going to be good fun. And I know hopefully the listeners enjoy the journey along the way, and hopefully we get all the way to 10 relays at the end of the year in September, and we're still talking about it and still talking about how well the team's going.
Yeah, we're copping a bit of lip early from people that think we can't sustain it, which I find fascinating, because when you look at our team, like, I'm the first to admit, like, I'm not much chop on cross country compared to me on road. Archie's the same. Like, we live in a town with no hills, so when we do get these cross country ones, we're not really running it there as best we can when you chuck us on a 10K road, which is later in the season, or a half marathon, which is later in the season, or, say, a Sandown 6K road race and things like that. And we also had Ned and Matt Buckle in our team on the weekend, who are both 18, identical twins. They had great runs. They ran 19.22 and 19.27 for 6K. But there's guys who will come in to replace them over the longer distances who are kind of ready to go. Like, it's the depth's definitely there this season.
Yeah, exactly. It's really exciting. And that competition creates like the more competition, and then everyone just gets better. Like, we've had a pretty big signing. They've seen the success of the Bats, and they already want to jump on board. So he's I don't know if we want to make it formal yet, but he's
not yet until it's signed. Really... I don't want to get too ahead of myself until I see it in ink, that one. but it is a good point. It's a good point you make, though, because, like, you went away for a couple of seasons. I went away for a couple of seasons to run for Geelong, who were in Premier Division. You ran for Melbourne Uni. Like, Bendigo has been a club over the years where people leave because it just looked like it was going nowhere. But all the kids, all the sons of Bendigo have come back.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You're the oldest in the team, and I'm the second oldest. Like, that's promising. And if I just hope we can, in a few years' time, we're not making the team because we're too slow, and we're back in Divi 4 or something. That's the dream. And I've always wanted to create a culture here where I've got people that I'm trying to hold on to in training, kind of thing. And like with Matt and Ned Buckle, like they're 18 and really hitting their straps and loving running. And it's funny, they were not sure what they were going to do with a lot of the races, because with AV, you can run in the individual races, you can run under 20s, which is a completely separate race. But they're like, nah, we want to be like, we want to get in Div 1. Like, that's what we want to do. We want to run.
Oh, really? I thought they might have dropped back to a couple of junior ones, but nah, that's good.
Nah. So maybe Bundoora, which is, that's to qualify for nationals. But I reckon every other one, they'll be like, nah, we want to help out the team. And it's, I don't know, it's pretty special. Like, it's, you don't get that in running unless you're at a college in America, kind of thing. So it's, they're really buying in. I think that's a good thing about our team. It's like, people are happy if they don't, even if they don't run the best, they're still stoked with how the team performs. So that's the unique thing about XCR, and people that haven't been in one of those teams just will never, they'll never understand it.
No, I don't think they will. And that's what I was saying to Croaks on our show. I'm like, mate, you need to get a part of this again. It kind of livened you up a bit. Even like when I was walking around the house Saturday morning before we left, Carly's like, why are you so up and about? And I'm like, bats are on today. We're going to Melbourne. Get excited. Like, want to smoke some of these teams up. Like, I'd been that excited for a race for months. Like, it was, it's a different kind of level of excitement.
I was a bit worried you were going to, because you were talking the big game in our little group messenger, and I was a bit, I knew I didn't need to get pumped up because I love cross country, and it's been so long since I've had a cross country because of COVID, and I knew I was going to be pumped up, but I was a little bit worried to feel that the young bucks were going to get a bit excited and get a bit carried away, but no, it was pretty cool. So I think everyone was really pumped.
And I should explain here that Andy is a two-time Australian cross-country champion. I think maybe 2017, 2018, and then you come second in 2019 to Olympian Dave McNeil. I've got that right. So So we're in that interesting situation again where the best runner on the day, which was Andy, ran the fastest time at Gales Park, 17:30, is coming out of a Division 2 team as well. So it's kind of like that adds another component to it, that the best teams don't get to directly compete against the best runner. So, it's another kind of interesting thing there. And you deserve to be run against those guys as well. So it's part of us, you know, we're doing our part for the team to kind of get you up there. And like that competition you're talking about, like, I honestly drove down Saturday thinking I could potentially run the second fastest time of our team, or I could run the sixth fastest time of our team and be the first one who's getting the arse next relay. If like that's a situation, like it's, and that's a good situation to be in, because you want to keep kind of flogging yourself, knowing that your spot's not safe and there's people knocking on the door, especially with some of our interstaters, if like they tend to come down, or with this big signing who's going to come back into the team, he'll slot straight into a top six potentially, and it's just like,
well, I don't know if he will.
Yeah, well, it depends on the distance. But that's the point I'm trying to make. No one other than you at the moment is in the top six, and they kind of got to prove it.
Mm. So. But it was quite funny because with Div 2, we start 15-ish metres behind Div 1. And I don't know, whenever you start, you always have this bit of adrenaline. And we took off, and I was actually quite surprised at how slowly the Div 1 boys took off. And I was just kind of like, stuff this kind of thing, and kind of caught them and just went straight through them and went straight to the front. And I think they all got a bit of a shock as to be like, who's this Div 2 runner coming up? And that soon got the race going. But it was, I don't know, it's kind of good fun starting behind them, but it would be, it'd be nice to start up next to them next year, hopefully, if all goes to plan. So.
Yeah. Just so I don't have to fang the first 50 metres. So that's another thing. We have to start, 15, 20 metres back, which isn't a massive distance, but still something we've got to make up pretty early. We'll go through these times, though. We did end up winning Div 2 in hour 53. Mentone was second. We were hour 53:34. Mentone was second, hour 59:02. And the Frankston Pigs were 2 hours and 57 seconds. So we've got a bit of breathing space there, about 5.5 minutes. And where that put us, as we said before, was second overall behind St. Stephen's, and Western Athletics were 2 minutes behind. And Mentone, as you were talking about, 159, that would have put them in 6th, 7th spot with like Melbourne Uni and Collingwood. So yeah, you're right. They're knocking off a few teams there as well. So it's going to be interesting. The lid's definitely off. We're trying to get as many people on board the Bendigo Bats as possible. It was good to see a couple of 210 marathoners training for the Olympics over in St. Moritz last night on Strava. Just using the hashtag let the bats fly. So it's good to know that they're on board and stuff. So hopefully we won't do this weekly. We'll maybe do this pretty much after every race or maybe before every race. So you might hear from us 15, 20 times throughout the season. But the second part of the show is documenting your kind of training leading into the Gold Coast. Or anything else you want to talk about for the XCR stuff? I'm trying to think of any of my notes. Anything we need to fill the listeners in on?
No,
the next one's about 2.5 weeks away, and it's 8K cross-country.
Yeah, so 22nd. So it's the good thing about XCR is it's quite evenly spaced out. So it's normally one or two a month. And it's really, I found for me personally, it's the best way to get fit for like a big race is you go down and you have these little mini races. And it's just because the competition there is so strong, like it's bloody hard to win a race. And it's like, it's to finish top 10 and an XCR race is like finishing top 10 in the biggest fun runs in Australia kind of thing. Like it's crazy the depth. So yeah.
It's harder. Like I've won, you know, Hobart, Canberra. I've come third at Sydney Marathon, third at Run for the Kids. And I think I've got on the podium at AV maybe twice in 10 years. Like
what's your highest finish, do you reckon?
I've come third twice at Ballarat, 15K. I think, and sometimes we get country medals, so they just give medals out to the people in like Vic Country. And I think I've won a couple of those.
Did I ever give you, because you, me and Brad won it from Lakeside last year. No, 2 years ago. Have I given you that medal or have I still got that?
I'm not sure. I'm not too worried about it.
I know Brad would be. Brad would be hanging out for that medal, I reckon.
Yeah, croaks. It'd be interesting to see if we can get him on board too. Joel Tobin White was talking about coming to the Bats last night when I was talking to him. But I just don't know. Some of these guys just jumping on the bandwagon. Jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be interesting. And the distances, pretty much. So the first one was 6K. The next one's 8K cross country. Then we have like a relay where I think the shortest leg is 3K and the biggest leg is 10K. And distances in between. So that's where you got to get strategic and pick your best runners for different distances. And then there's maybe a 10K cross country at Bundoora. There's a road race around the Sandown race course, which is 6.2K on the road. We have a 10K on the road at Albert Park. There's a 15K road race around Ballarat, a half marathon in Burnley, and a 3.8K race around the Tan. And I think that's 10 of them. Maybe I've missed a 12K cross country in there as well somewhere. So I think there's 5 cross country, 5 road races. So it's an interesting season. And some people go well over some. Yeah, that's right. So, keep tuned. But talking about the Tan, you raced around the Tan a couple of weeks ago. And you also ran the Australian 3K Championships. And you're also building for a marathon. I will read through your PBs just in case the listeners are new. And if you want to know more about Andy, check his interview on Inside Running or Better With Running. There's some 60, 90-minute chats with him there if you want to know more about him. But he's ran 3:45 for 1,500, 7:55 for 3K, 13:42 for 5K, 28:26 for 10K. You've also ran 62:50 for the half marathon over in Japan. So obviously no marathon yet, but all those times point to something pretty quick on debut. How's the training going so far?
Yeah, no, well, it's going really well. It's a whole new world of unknown. I know you're never sure how you're going to handle the mileage, but just looking through, luckily Strava's back up and running. There was a little bit of Strava had a bit of a break for a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's back up and running, but I've my last few weeks have been kind of 148, 149, 180, 183, 167, 162 Ks a week. So handling that well. I'm really enjoying the challenge at the moment, and I'm really looking forward to getting up to Gold Coast and having a crack in a marathon. It was quite a strange week last week because I went to Melbourne three times for a tan race, so that's 3.8K, and then a 3K, and then a cross country, and it's kind of like my next race is a marathon kind of thing. It was quite strange, bit of a different week, but
Yeah, city slickers don't get that either. They don't understand what it's like sitting in the car for that long. Like, we were 3 hours and 10 minutes to the race on the weekend, and then 3 hours and 10 minutes home. Like, we left at 8:30 and got home at 6:30, and we ran for
Well,
19 minutes. And you're like, "Jeez, this is a big day out."
yeah, that Australian 3K champs, luckily, because my race started at 6:15 p.m., which that's for people that don't, that's pretty early for a race. Normally a lot of my races are at 8:30, 9:30 kind of thing. But luckily Thursday is a half day for me, because or else I wouldn't have been able to get there in time from work. Which is just it's just a whole nother thing that people don't really they don't think about too much. But no, it was a big week, but I really enjoyed it. It was good fun doing a bit of racing after having a pretty kind of little intense 3 week kind of marathon block, and you kind of just get into that groove and run a heap of K's. It was nice to I don't know, pull the foot off the accelerator a little bit and just enjoy racing. Like we had so long without racing, so it's I still just take every opportunity. So, but I must admit, when I was chatting to my coach Scotty, and he said, "Oh, I think you should give this 3K a go." I actually thought he was joking to start with. I was like, "What are you? Why am I doing a 3K?" And it's funny. I actually did 2400s 2 weeks before, and I think my last three were in 63, 62, 62, 62. And he kind of said, "If you're going to finish off 400s in that pace, you can do a 3K."
What were the first
So that.
17 in? What kind of recovery were you having?
So these were off a minute, so all off a minute standing. So 68, 70, 68, 67, 67, 66, 64, 65, 65, 65, 66, 64, 64, 63, 63, 62, 62, 63, 62, 63. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a big workout, isn't it, when you read that like that?
And the hardest thing about that, I know we've spoken about 400s before, but doing them all straight, like literally just go finish, all right, a minute, yep, I'm back on. And then just not even having that, we've spoken about
Yeah,
having that
not
jog
like
lap
two sets of 10 or
recovery.
anything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
You did them
like
on the
in,
track as well?
yeah, on the track,
You go the same direction all the time?
yeah, the same direction. I don't know, I've never been a big fan of running fast backwards. It just, I don't know, it just
Just
messes
feels
with my
weird.
mind. I don't know how people do it. But no, that was a big workout. So that was probably one of my big ones. And then a few others I've done.
Not real marathon specific though.
So it's Scott's really big on keeping my speed that I've got there, like just keeping in
Yeah.
touch with it, I think,
Well,
and just.
obviously. And this Scotty's Scott West Scotty's talking about 2016 Olympian in the marathon at Rio, so knows what he's talking about. Two ten to 11 guy. What's his PB?
Oh, geez, you
I'll
put me
look it
on the
up. You
spot.
keep talking about his philosophy.
He's really big on, I suppose, not doing speed work, but just keeping in touch with running fast and feeling good. Because I think when you're running fast and you're kind of doing 3K, 5K kind of stuff, as Croaks would say, you're just covering the ground well kind of thing. So I'm kind of doing every 2 or 3 weeks, I'll do some shorter stuff. But I've also, a few other sessions I've done is like 3 by 4K, which was just all about, I suppose, practicing patience and not running them too fast. I actually got in trouble for running that last 4K rep a little bit too fast, which was, that's all
So
right.
does
And then,
he's run 2:11:36, by the way, at
yep.
Beppu over in Japan. So does he
Oh,
set
yeah.
a certain like pace range for you for
Yeah, so
4K?
not.
Like what's your ma yeah? It's hard to know your marathon pace when you never ran one before.
So it's at the moment, like the best thing about Scotty is because he's got so much experience, he'll say, "Oh yeah, look to run this pace." And then if I run a certain pace, he'll be like, "Yeah, I think you're in this shape," because he's done so many sessions and races before. And that's the best thing about it. So this one, he told me, I can't remember ex the exact, but normally he doesn't really tell me, it's just effort. That's what we kind of work on, and it's if I feel good, I'll push. If I don't feel good, I won't push. And that's a good thing about training by myself here in Bendigo. But with this one, I ran 12:50, 11:57, 11:50, 11:46. So it was meant to get there was meant to be a progression there, but I don't think I was meant to run that fast in the last one. So that was,
so I think that was running almost like half marathon pace for you.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I haven't done a half quicker? For so long.
Yeah.
So half marathon pace for me is like 2:57 per K.
Which is pretty much what you averaged for that last 4K, wasn't it?
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. I'm trying to load it up now, but Strava's just, it's like it's
don't stress.
Been on holidays.
But, hey, another thing though, I've just picked this up. You ran 7:55.8 as your PB. During this marathon block,
and
Scott Westcott's profile, 7:55.4. Your 3K PBs are pretty much identical.
You know, I got a message from him. I'll quickly have a look for it.
Did you dip? He's got you over 10K and 5K too, but you've got him over the half marathon.
Yeah, that's the only one I've got him in the half marathon. So hopefully I can get him in the marathon.
But on debut.
That
would go down well. I would just, well, on that, I've just put your 3K and your half marathon. So when I put your 3K into the calculator, guess what it spits out for the half marathon?
62.
For the conversion.
62:40.
62:50 spot. Bang. So your 3K and your half marathon are identical mathematically on the calculator prediction. And then guess what that pulls it out for the marathon?
Oh, I've no idea. 2:11:40?
2:10:51.
Oof.
The expectations are high.
Yeah, wow, this could be...
So mathematically, you should be right.
Yeah, so like this was the message I got from Scotty. Andy ripped a 7:55 unofficial for sixth, and then Cal Lang, he's a Newcastle guy. 55 high or low, Scotty, record could be in trouble. And then Scotty knows his records to the point. So he's like 7:55.43 from 1st of July 2000, waiting to see if Andy takes it. And then he got stuck into me for not taking it. So I think he's going to hold that one over me for a while, I reckon. Because I was dipping, because I had, in that race, I had Andre, who he was in front of me with about 100 to go. And there's a good photo I was actually going to put on the gram tonight, and it's me reaching for the line. I was in a fair bit of hurt, so it was
many opportunities to run 3Ks. Like, I think, didn't you run like an 18 second PB or something, because your last one would have been years ago?
Yeah, something like that. I've just never converted a 3K race, just because they never come around. And I think you need a few things to go right to run a good race. You need to be mentally and physically in good shape. You need a good like a good field, good conditions. And I've just never ticked all those boxes. It's been a busy few weeks, but it's been good fun.
Yeah, very good. So then, like, you recovered well, and then have you got something meaty coming up this week? Like, you're almost going to have something marathon-specific every week now for the next 8 weeks?
Yeah, kind of. So at the moment, it's just about getting... The focus for this week's just about getting back up to kind of 170, and probably... making sure we don't overdo it, because if you kind of look at my last week, it's a bit of a spike, even though the K's are down. Doing three races, that's a fair bit, and people need to factor in that I'm traveling 2 hours to these races all the time, kind of thing. So that,
and you're holding down a job, like you're not just sitting at home watching Netflix all day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I know most of our communication between you and me happens at about 6 o'clock in the morning, I think.
yeah, that's the one. I love working at that hour, though. Like, that's my most productive hour, like, especially if Hudson doesn't get up till 6:30, 6:40, like, just sit down, have a coffee, and you just motor through work. It's, super efficient time of the day for me.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, but...
Oh, sorry, keep going.
This week, so I just did... On Tuesday, I did a mile, 2x800, mile, 2x8. So that's it's an awesome session, because it's 7K worth, and it goes really fast. Like, say, compared to doing 7x1K, I just find it flies by. And that's a bit of a staple, just kind of VO2 session.
What kind of recovery are you talking?
Yeah, so 2 minutes after each mile, and after each set of 800s, and then 1 minute between the 800s, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I actually wore the Alpha Flies for the first time. I've never worn them before.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting workout to test them out, Lynn.
Well, I've got to make a decision. And I was like, oh, I'll just put them on. And it was like, you know what it's like? You work all day and it's like, you look outside and it's blowing a gale, it's cold, and you just need something just to give you that little bit of a spark.
Something to get you up, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've had these alpha flies. I've had them for months and months.
What colour like, you got? Still,
I've got the, I think they're the Tokyo Olympic ones. So white with like kind of a bit of a reddy orange tick, I think they are. They look real cool. And like light green on the bottom, like a real light, subtle green.
I'm typing into Google now. Nah, because I don't.
Yeah, like, I reckon they're the Olympic.
Oh, yeah. Or did you say like a pinky kind of? No. Is it a pinky kind of tick?
Yeah, probably pink. Pinkish.
And then it's got that kind of like, light greeny.
Yeah.
Yeah, Archie's got that pair.
I reckon they look sick. So, yeah, obviously I need to make a decision for Gold Coast around what shoes I'll wear, which is, it's a pretty interesting one because, you look at a lot of marathons these days, and I was keen to see. I actually forgot. Do you know that one that Kipchoge did the other day?
Yeah, he was back in the next percent.
Yeah, exactly.
The next percent too. They reckon it was more a marketing thing. Like he's wearing it because they've just been released.
Yeah.
Have you got a pair of the new next percents?
Nah, I don't. I figure they're cheaper, so they can't be better.
Yeah, they got a different upper or something though. Yeah. I like that blue color.
Yeah, I've got two. I've got two brand new pairs of Next Percent sitting in boxes.
What colours?
Ekiden.
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah, they're my go-to at the moment. I'm going to wear that for Launceston 10 in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And then I've also got the Tokyo one as well, so the same as the... I think I've funded Moose's holiday with... I think in
Moose's
1 week...
Moose's whole life's a holiday, mate. He goes to work like a day and a half a week. Yeah.
Yeah. I think in... 1 week I bought Dragonflies, Next Percents, and Alpha Flies all off him.
Yeah. Right. It's because it got to this stage where they were real scarce and you had to buy them straight away. And now, then it was like there's too many of them. And now I think the Next Percent 2s have sold out. Did they squeak a bit, your Alpha Flies? You find them a bit squeaky?
They weren't squeaky, but they were a bit... They just make a different noise. And I've ran next to, Ben Stoltz, his squeak. And it's kind of like, it gets a bit annoying. But mine don't squeak. But I... You've got some Alpha Flies, yeah?
Yeah, do I ever tell you a story about how I got mine?
No.
Oh,
it sounds like a good story.
Yeah, so US trials, you know how the US marathon trials...
Yep.
They were giving them out to everyone because they didn't want anyone having the excuse that they didn't have the shoes on. And then we've got a listener, and his name escapes me, Chris Cook. I hope I can tell this story. Yeah. They're lucky this is on Tell Me Your Tales, not Inside Running, because, yeah. Anyway, he's a listener who works for Nike and, really high up. We've tried to get him on the show a couple of times, but Nike legal department, won't release him kind of thing.
Really?
And then, he listens to it, and he heard us talking about how they're kind of hard to come across, and it was before I was meant to do Rotterdam in 2020, before COVID hit, and we're kind of talking about it and stuff, and anyway, they had some left over at the US Olympic trials, and then he kind of just said, hey, what size are you, boys? And just sent us a pair each. So I've got the original, black with the green tick, which I think, so me, Moose, and Brad have got those. And then I think the only other people in Australia that have that version is, Brett, Jack, maybe Stewie, a couple of Nike guys who would have got that first kind of tier. And then it's just, three hacks on the podcast and also have that colorway. So it was really cool. So we were, the only people in Australia that had Alpha Fives for, the first 6 months. But then there was no races to be able to use them in. So, so that was that original pair. And I've used them... the more I spend in them, more time I spend, the better I like them. At the start, I was this is a real, half marathon shoe. I think it's a perfect, 315 per K pace shoe for me. But now I've done, 1K reps and got down to, 250s in them and felt pretty good kind of thing. So I think you're just going to keep testing it out. The one thing that I worry about is doing one of those airbags in a race.
Mm.
It's do you want that worry? When you're... 38k into a marathon that you potentially could do, or even worse, 10k into a marathon.
I couldn't believe that those airbags, and it literally feels like there's a pogo stick. With the Next Percents, you feel that heel and you feel it push you forward, whereas with these Alpha Flies, that air pocket there, it literally feels like a pogo stick. And I think I ran my 800s in 213, 212. So that's like 245 pace. And then I ran my second mile in 251k pace. So I think there's no excuse that you can't run fast in them.
That was like the Vaporflies when they came out. Everyone said they were too chunky, but yeah, you can rip fast track times in them.
Yeah, so I'm pretty keen to trial them over a longer session, and then Scott said I can only bring one pair of shoes up, so I need to make my mind up before I get on the plane to Gold Coast. So that's going to be a tough decision. I don't think
you like should sleep on the other brand yet though. That Adidas one, like that's the one there. That Candy guy from Kenya, he's Adidas.
Oh yeah,
he's been running fast times in that. Didn't they win Valencia in that as well? Like we haven't seen that yet in Australia yet, but I think that's going to be more readily available like before Gold Coast too. So that like if that came a month before and you got some time in it, and I'm testing a new New Balance one tomorrow, which I think launches May 15th. And that's like when I put it on, because the first version of it was still, it was almost like in between an older racing flat and a super shoe. You're like, I can see what you're trying to do. You made a bit higher. It doesn't feel like an old racing flat, but it still didn't feel like a super shoe. But then I put this one on tonight and I'm like, oh, this is high. I can feel it like just walking around the house, pushing me. Like this could be a contender as well, I think. Give me 24 hours and I'll be able to tell you.
Yeah, report back.
But then going away from the Nike tick's a big move, I reckon, just because you've had so much success in them and so many other people.
Yeah, and like that Asics one that's out now, that seems to be, people seem to be raving about that.
Sarah Hall, yeah.
Yeah, Beth and Potter. I've heard from someone in Australia that has those Adidas shoes and they've said they're pretty bloody impressive. So it'll be interesting. It's good to see though. It's good that there's, I don't know, it's for so long you never used to think about racing shoes at all. And it's good to know that you can think about some other brands now. So it's fun as well
just to wear them and test them out.
Yeah.
Mizuno sent me their prototype as well. That's sitting in the top. I haven't worn that yet. It doesn't seem too like, kind of similar to how I just explained that first New Balance one that was though. Like it's their first go at it. Which I suppose you need. You kind of look at the Nike, they're up to their third or fourth go at it now. It's gonna be interesting. And another thing, last question before I let you go. You guys seem to be doing a lot of like slow mileage, like a lot of long runs. Like I think you're doing two long runs a week at the moment, like just building a massive like endurance base.
So Sunday long run has essentially just been kind of 2.5 hours. That's just kind of been the stock standard for a little bit now. So that's there. And then also doing kind of an hour 45 on a Wednesday. So it's funny, I used to do this quite hilly, quite rough Wednesday. I actually used to do it on a Thursday long run, which was up to Mount Herbert. So you've run on parts of these tracks, and I know you don't like them.
Terrible.
And I,
they're not. They make you fit to win cross country races. I should be doing more of them.
I think that's why I run so well over cross country, because all of my running through the bush is
cross country.
You lose your rhythm, and that's what cross country is all about: losing your rhythm but trying to keep good pace. So I used to do this run up Mount Herbert, and it was probably 600 meters elevation climbing, and it was pretty brutal. And Scott came down here over the holidays, and I took him up Mount Herbert, and I think Scotty was a little bit banged up from the K reps the day before, and found the loop a bit tough going, but he made it through. But that loop has now been banned, so I need to just hit the flat trails on the Wednesday now. It's a pretty long run on a Wednesday.
I hate doing a medium long run. Like, it's just that. Yeah. Such a drag, especially if you do it after work. It just, like, gets dark early and just, like.
Yeah.
And you look at your watch and you're like, must be 40 minutes in. And you're, like, 13 and a half minutes in. You're just, like, really? Yeah. It just seems to go so slow.
And because I think mentally you rock up on a Sunday and you're like, Sunday long run.
End of the awesome, week. Cool. Put the icing on the cake.
Yep, I'm used to this, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that Wednesday run is tough. But I've just been trying to run new loops all the time just to keep it interesting.
And
Been listening
because
to
it's an hour 45 as well, like you can't do it before work unless you get up at like 5 a.m.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's where, because I work half days on Monday and Thursdays. And that's where I was in this predicament where I was like, well, I can do it at 12:30 on a Thursday. And it's like, oh yeah, that's fine, because you can do it during the daylight, it's not dark, all that kind of stuff. But then I had to back up for a session on the Friday, the day after.
Yeah.
And I do that early. So now we've actually just gone, no, let's just grit the teeth, do it on a Wednesday after school, and go from there. So it's, yeah, because I start work at 6 on a Wednesday, so it's like you can't do it before. So it's doing it afterwards. So that's definitely the hardest run of the week at the moment for me.
And you're saying you listen to something? Do you listen to something religiously every week to get you through it?
Yeah, so I'm really big on ESPN 30 for 30 podcasts. I discovered it, I don't know how, a few months ago. And if you haven't listened, have a listen. They're really, really good. They do, it's similar, you would have heard of 30 for 30.
Yeah, docos. I watched the doco, yep. A couple of the docos, yep. Yeah.
So it's exactly the same. And they just talk about different sporting things. So they did a little mini series on Donald Sterling. So he was the owner of the LA Clippers. And got in a fair bit of strife for some racial remarks. That was pretty interesting.
Oh, also did there's a Netflix doco when they talk about different coaches and stuff. Is it Doc Rivers, the coach that
Doc
team?
Rivers, yeah. Yep, he was the coach.
And
yep.
He's one of the coaches that they have on the documentary, and all that stuff blows up when he's coaching there. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So they do like 4 or 5 episodes on that. They also do 4 or 5 episodes on Bikram yoga. Have you heard of
There's
that?
There's a doco on Netflix about that as well. I haven't watched it, but wasn't the guy like a real creep? The guy who started it?
It
real predator.
It starts
or
off sunshine and rainbows, and then it like it turns real nasty.
Yeah,
so that was interesting.
I haven't watched it.
There was also another one on which there's a doco on Netflix about as well, which was about the two gymnastic coaches who are Romanian. Gymnastic coaches, and just kind of the I don't know. They all sound like bad stories, but the abuse of kind of young girls in gymnastics. But yeah, that's what I listen to, and that kind of gets me through because
you enjoy
it's sport.
This stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's I don't know what it is. I love it. But they have there's a really good one on the six who sat. So it talks about female marathon distance running, and the first time they ran Boston, and so the very first time the women were allowed to compete, they had to start 10 minutes prior to the men because they didn't want them mixing in with the men because I thought that was going to ruin a good competition. So the girls, I think there was 6 of them.
The gun, they just waited.
Yep, so they waited. So they sat down and they waited 10 minutes and then the gun went for the men. They got up and ran with the men.
See, this is what Divi 1 teams need to do. When the gun goes, just sit, wait for Andy to catch her, and then we're racing, boys, okay? We can then start the race. I like this.
Oh, shit.
Take a leaf out of their book, boys. Take a leaf out of these ladies' books.
Yeah, make it a fair race.
Yeah.
Jeez, so that's what I listen to. That gets me through the Wednesday. And just trying to run, I don't know, where I'm really lucky in Bendigo. We've got so many places to run. And I don't know, I reckon you need to come down and I can show you a few of our, I can take you on a few of our easier loops if you want. I probably scared you away on.
I was thinking we all get down for a workout, like, and we didn't mention him before, but his, because Bendigo Bats are located all over kind of central northern Victoria, but Nathan Stoats up in Cobram Baruga, so he's on the Murray River, just a couple of 100 Ks from us in the Chukamoama, and then we've got the Bendigo guys located down there. But it'd be good to go, hey, let's all meet in Bendigo one Saturday morning, do the same workout, just kind of build that team kind of atmosphere a bit. And work together.
We could
a
bit. do it at that Huntley spot that we were training.
Yeah,
that's
easier for us to get there. Yeah,
at least that's on your side. But it's a funny story. We're trained in the morning, and we're training at 6:45 because Matt. So Matt Buckle, he's still at school with his brother Ned, and he starts school at 9. So we're trying to get the workout done, and he's already gone to his outdoor ed teacher, and he said, "Oh, I'm going to be." I'm going to be a few minutes late. I've got to train with Andy. And the art direct teacher said, yeah, that's fine. So he's allowed to rock up half an hour late to his class.
How good's that? That's good.
So I think the teacher must be a Bats fan, I reckon. She must be already following along.
Got a membership and already, or something.
Already hooked in, looking to buy some merch.
The young fellas as well did start Instagram page, listeners. So if you're on Instagram, I think is it Bendigo Bats on Instagram? Is that the handle?
That's the one. That's yeah, the did handle. You see my story I put up this morning?
No, I didn't. I've been at work all day. Is it still up?
Yeah, I think they start for 24 hours. But the best part is the song. I think that's probably the part I'm most proud of.
Yes. Oh, no. Yeah. Was that the kids running?
Yeah, Junior Bats.
Junior Bats. Yeah, I did see that. I was at work, though, so I didn't have audio on. I was sitting in the little office.
It's a bit of Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell.
Oh, good one. That's what we want.
Yeah. I was pretty happy with that. And I know Ed Goddard, he loves Meatloaf, so hopefully he tuned in and enjoyed that.
He could have been the kind of guy that comes down, chucks on a bat singlet as well if he's keen, New South Wales guy. Yeah, there's people
banging
on the door.
I wouldn't be surprised, actually.
Banging on the door.
We're hot property at the moment.
Oh, yeah, mate. Thanks for talking bulk rubbish with me for, I think we talked for like 50 minutes in the end, which was good fun. I've got to figure out the old tell me your tales like login and stuff. I don't even know how I'm going to put... Because I thought about saying to Moose and Croaks, I'll put this out on Inside Running, but I'm like, nah, that would tip him over the edge, old Moosey.
He would...
Trigger him big time. He's got a bit of injury at the moment as well, so he's got to... It's easier to trigger. So, and we get more control of it if we do it on Tell Me Your Tales.
Yeah, he's a bit of a grumpy old man these days. Hopefully, I don't know, hopefully I get to race him up at Gold Coast, but it's not looking very positive for him.
Yeah, he does know how to get it right in marathons, but yeah, getting close. What are we, 8.5 weeks? Got to start stringing some training together. But listeners, thanks for tuning in. If you haven't subscribed to Tell Me Your Tales, that's probably the best way to know when a new episode drops, because it's not going to be weekly, so you'll just have to wait and see until your notification pops up. We probably will be back for a quick show, just previewing the team for Lardner Park, tell you who's in the team, get a bit of an update with Andy's training. And if you want to spread the word, that would be good. This is just a little fun passion project thing, so we're not expecting to spread the word big and get sponsors or a Patreon page or anything like that. We're just doing this for a bit of fun. That would be highly appreciated, though. If you want to put on Strava or a screenshot or anything like that, tag Andy and I on Instagram. We won't have its own Instagram page or anything like that. And, let us know what you think after episode one. Thanks, Andy. We're done.
Nah.
We've got to think of... Oh, I should put Bat Out of Hell as the outro music.
Yeah, I reckon you should.
Cool. Could be in copyright trouble when you start mucking around Meatloaf, though. Maybe I could find some like remix version of it on YouTube.
Yeah.
See how we go.
Whatever
you hear now, listeners, that's what you're hearing.
Lovely.
Thanks.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.